And even as he gave the Last Supper with his disciples, he was establishing a new covenant. The Bible calls it the New Testament, but it really is a new covenant. And the whole idea of covenant with God and us, whenever people cut covenant, it meant that they were together. That what belonged, if I cut a covenant with you, what belonged to me belonged to you. If what you belonged to you belonged to me. That whenever you were in trouble, that I would be with you. Whenever I was in trouble, that you would be with me. That's the covenant. And Jesus went ahead in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 15, God's calling Abraham. And he's saying, I'm gonna have this covenant with you. We can read about it in Deuteronomy chapter 28, what the covenant is. And Jesus ratified, or he signed that covenant with his own blood for me and you. So whatever you're in today, whatever you need today, like the deal is, it's bad deal for God, good deal for us, I think, anyway. Because I really, I'll jump up and down and scream and yell if he's got an enemy. But really, if he's standing behind me, it really doesn't mean that much. But if I got an enemy and I'm jumping up and down and screaming, yelling, God's standing behind me, it means a whole lot, right? When I have a need, I could do everything I could do in my own power. But when God's standing behind me, every need's met, right? When I'm full of turmoil and full of just worry and fear, and I really can't do that much. But with God standing behind me and God cutting covenant with me, giving his life's blood, shedding it for me, then it makes all the difference in the world. It makes every bit of difference in the world. We're not talking about a God that's man size. Like you go to Tim Hortons, or not Tim Hortons, but I don't know. You go through a fast food restaurant like Wendy's. I like Wendy's. If I go, I like going there. And then they ask you, so do you want large fry? You want to large size that? And I'm like, I don't know. What's the price? What, you know, like just tell me what it is. But they always ask you if you want to large size it. Here's the deal, though. So many times with God, we want to man size him. God's been inviting us into his world to make us like him, but so many times we're trying to make God like us. And this covenant, when we take the covenant meal, when we break the bread and when we drink the cup, the Bible says to remember this, my death, My signing of the covenant until I come again. So we never be alone in this world, so that we never have to do it on our own. We never have to be in our own strength, but we can be with God. And God's big. We say that God is big, so strong, so mighty, right? He's big, right? I went to the enemy's camp and I took back, right? But it's not me. It's me with Jesus going in there and doing what we do. So whatever you're going through today, and I know we got some big stuff going on in the house, you know? Like, you know, we're going to pray for Gordon in a little while. He's got some, a big mountain he's climbing right now, him and Linda. A real serious problem. But when we have covenant, right, when we bring it in line with God, when we line up the two little mountains, when we line up this mountain and we line up God, this mountain doesn't seem as big, right? And if you're, you know, maybe just your problem today is you had a fight with your wife or your husband before you came to church and you're just tired of fighting and you don't know what to do. God's with you today. And whatever it is this morning that you need from God, let's lay hold of his covenant. Let's lay hold of what he promised. Let's say, like we did when we were kids, Dad, you promised. You promised. Why not? Why not ask him? Why not throw it at him and say, God, you promised. And let's lay hold of him today. So, pretty excited about preaching this message this morning. I don't often get too excited about preaching. It's one of the things I do. It's nothing I really get too excited about. But today I'm actually excited because I really believe that the word I have this morning is from the Lord. I guess I believe that every week. But I believe it even more today that there's something God wants to speak to people in the house this morning. That really, you know, if you'll lay hold of it and you'll really hear what God's saying this morning, I believe it'll be a life-changing morning for you. I believe that. So just to lighten up the atmosphere a bit, this kid was praying, and it was Christmas time, and he had a list of things that he really wanted for Christmas, and he was praying to God about it, and he was saying, you know, dear Jesus, he was writing a letter. He said, dear Jesus, in this letter, I've been good for 6 months. And then he thought about it for a while, and he scratched out the six, and he put a three. And then he thought about it for a little while longer, and he scratched out the three, and he put a one. And then he crumpled up the paper, and he threw it. He walked over to the nativity set, and he grabbed Mary, and he started a new letter, and he wrote, Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again... So many times, right? He's on my side. So many times we feel that what we get from God is on our merit. That what we deserve and what we get is because we deserve it and we worked for it. But the kingdom of God is not like that. It's not like that. The story we often think about is, you know, is that God's kingdom is different. It's backwards compared to other kingdoms. It's more no more clearly demonstrated than when we look at the parable of the mustard seed, right? That if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. That the little bit that we have, that God can use it to make something great out of it, right? It's not in who we are, but it's in whose we are. It's not in what we can bring to the table, but that we come to the table. That we come and ask God to be with us. Our series we're working on right now is called More Power. And this series is really about the fact that so many times as Christians, we live life as mere mortals. And I guess to a degree we are, but we aren't because we're tied into the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is our God. And He said, I'm with you. I will never leave you, never forsake you. So we have all these tools that God's given us that He wants to drop His power on when we use them. And we sometimes, though, try and do everything in our own strength. We try and do everything our own way. We try and put our best effort, which we should. But when we do, we should trust that God's going to come behind that effort and do something amazing. So today I want to talk about hope and faith. Because sometimes we don't realize the power of faith and hope. We don't realize what God has given to us. This is what C.S. Lewis said. I love this quote. Hope is not dreaming. It's not spinning an illusion or a fantasy to protect ourselves from our boredom or our pain. It's imagination put into the harness of faith. It's imagination put into the harness of faith. It's amazing. It's my goal. I really believe this. Like I said, I don't often get too excited about preaching, but this morning I'm actually pretty excited, so I'll probably stutter and just get ahead of myself, so forgive me, but I am excited about the message this morning. I really believe that God wants to stir up faith in your hearts this morning. I really believe that God wants you to see things once again through the eyes of faith. Not to see the world and your world and your future as a man-sized world or future, but to see your world the way God sees your world through His eyes and through the eye of faith. We try so many times to walk out our life as just mere mortals. And I just said this, but we belong to the King of Kings. We belong to the Lord of Lords, the one who spoke the word and the world came into existence. He says that He spoke that which was not and it became. Right? Like, think about this. If God says there's going to be a three-headed dog standing at the front of the church, then that's going to happen because when God speaks, things are created. This is the God we serve. the one who spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light. And it wasn't just like somebody pulled the light on, but the sun shone, the stars were thrown into the heavens. We watched this video last year called How Great Is Our God and all the great stars out there, that if the earth was a golf ball, remember that one? We are, like, God threw all this, breathed out stars, it said in Psalms. He's the star breather, right? This is the God we serve. The one who said, let there be dry ground and let there be water. Like we just saw last week, Isaac down in New Orleans, again, just like flood, like houses underwater, people getting rescued by boats. Thank God that God drew a line. He said, let there be every manner of bird and animal and fish, and there was. If you've ever been, I love the world. I love watching around me, you know, like going for a cruise down the river in a boat and seeing all the birds and wildlife that there is. But I don't think there's anything more beautiful than going snorkeling on a reef and seeing the fish and the bright sea creatures that are there and the coral reefs and what they, it's so beautiful. But God just spoke it. And out of his imagination flew this world, this undersea world that we get to enjoy today. He took a little lump of clay and he molded it and formed it into being in his image, right? To look like us. And then he breathed his breath into it. This is the God we serve. I don't know. You ever try, like, build a little, you know, clay statue and then blow some life into it? It's a pretty good trick. If you could do it, that's amazing. But God did it. And we're here today because of that. The God that didn't leave us to die in our sin. He didn't leave us to die in our sin, but he came, the Bible said, at just the right moment. Right? He came out of heaven to this earth. And he gave his life for you and for me. He lived a perfect life. He served the poor. He healed the sick. He was, the Bible said, a friend of sinners. Thank God. I needed a friend and he saved me. This is the God we serve. He healed the sick and the oppressed and drew the lost to himself. Then he died on that old rugged cross. He gave up his life. He laid it down. No one took his life. He laid it down for you and for me. That's the God we serve. So that we could be forgiven. But not only forgiven. That we could be heirs of God. That we could be joint heirs. That means that we now have an inheritance from God along with Jesus Christ, our firstborn brother, the Bible teaches us. That we're joint heirs with him. And that we can actually come boldly to God. The one who breathed out all this stuff. The one who really could stop our lives in a heartbeat. But we can come boldly to him and say, Daddy. Most endearing, beautiful term. Daddy. Right? And we can call God that. We've been adopted into his family. And it is to this relationship this morning that I want to draw your attention. The relationship that we have with God. The covenant that we have with God. It's an amazing thing. I think sometimes we just don't realize. We don't stop and contemplate. We don't stop and meditate on the relationship and what that means. It's to that relationship that I want to direct our faith. To the one who promised us that he would take care of us. And even empower us to do what there is no way that we could do. No way. I heard one guy say just recently, if you can accomplish your dreams, they aren't God's dreams. Because God's dreams aren't your size. If God's dreams don't scare you, they're not God's dreams. It's my goal to stir up hope in your heart. Once again, that what God said to you, he's able to bring to pass. And what God promised, he is willing and able to do. He's willing and able to do. He is willing and able. This is what it says, Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, no one can please God. We must believe that God is real and that He rewards everyone who searches for Him. If we're going to follow God, we must do it by faith. If we really have faith, we believe that God is real. It's hard. I mean, like, that's why it's called faith. We spend so much time as Christians arguing with people that believe in evolution and believe in this and believe in that. It takes as much faith for them to believe that as what it takes for us to believe God. We have to believe that He is. We have to. And when we do, He responds by pouring out His blessing in our life. Right? If we have to believe that God actually exists and that He is who He claims to be, and if He is who He claims to be, that He will reward those who diligently seek Him. There's always if-then statements in the Bible. Right? We have a part to play. We have to diligently seek Him. To be diligently seeking is like when you lose your wallet or when you lose your keys. And you're not going to stop looking until you find them because you need it desperately. Right? It's that search that tears the whole house apart, that will leave no stone left unturned. You'll backtrack everywhere you've been that day. You'll go to every store. You'll make a fool out of yourself and ask total strangers if they've seen your wallet. That's diligently seeking God. That's our call, to overturn every stone, to seek Him, to search Him out, to know Him, to know His Word. God has plans for your life and His promise and things that He's promised to you. But so many times our imagination is broken and our faith has nothing to connect to. We're like lame ducks or broken toys. I always think of this. I used to, when we ran the Potter's House in town, there was this liquidation store up beside me. And I'd go in there, and my kids were little at the time, and there was this big honking remote control truck. But it didn't have a remote control. That's why it was in the liquidation store, right? And I thought about buying this truck, but I thought, it's just so lame because all they could do is push it around, right? But later on, I bought my kids, remote control trucks, right? And they raced them around out in the snow for about an hour, and then they died, and then they ended up pushing them anyway. But they never enjoyed pushing them around because they knew there was more to it than what they were experiencing. Right? Once you've tried it with the remote control, it has no fun in pushing it. And our life is meant to be filled with the imagination of God, and if we don't have that, if we don't really live life out that way, it's not fun. It's not right. It's broken. And God wants to fix that. What we need to do is learn once again to imagine that through God we can do what seems impossible. I want to just backtrack here because I had... No, I'm not going to backtrack. All right, sorry. We need to believe that what seems impossible, God can do. And really make a difference, that we could still make a difference in this world. We need to believe that God can do what feels like is impossible, like healing your sick body, or giving you a great job, or healing a broken marriage, restoring a wayward child, and whatever it is that you need, that God could still do it. I'll tell you, I've had some dreams in my life, and some big dreams. And I'll have to tell you honestly that some of those things I've downsized because it doesn't seem like it's happening. And really, there's a mourning that happens in my heart when I downsize the dreams that God gave me. It's not right. This morning, that's what God wants to speak to in your hearts. That's what God wants to speak to in your life today, is that the dreams that He promised, that He laid in your heart, maybe years and years ago, that maybe because of hard times, maybe because of struggles, maybe because You tried and it just didn't work. You've given up and you've said, I can't be disappointed like that anymore. Remember when you were a kid? The way you would imagine? Like, we played, you know, I don't remember, chips was a big deal when we were kids, right? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Eric Estrada and the boys, right? See those big, you know, I think there were Kawasaki's riding down the highway, and we'd, you know, tie a bread tag or whatever into the spokes of our bike, and we'd be like that big Kawasaki burning up the driveway trying to catch the bad guys. I loved to read when I was a kid. I loved it. And we grew up in a, you know, a good Dutch home. My grandparents, you know, they lived with us, and we heard many times about the struggle. They grew up in, you know, they lived in the war in Holland, right? So my grandfather almost died of starvation a couple times, feeding the kids. They were hiding some people, taking care of that, and God would bring people to the door with food. And, you know, and being part of our Dutch heritage, I read this book, this series of books called Journey Through the Night. And it was about this family that was in Nazi-occupied, Holland at the time. And they had a son named John, and John was part of the resistance movement in Holland. Well, when I was reading that book, for months afterwards, every time I closed my eyes and went to bed and dreamed, I was John. I was blowing up bridges. I was knocking Nazis over the head with a wrench. I was, like, doing whatever I could do. I was like, it was me, and I didn't know where that life ended and where real life began. I became part of it, you know? Imagination was such a huge part. During the day, we'd build forts and we'd knock them down because we were, like, you know, breaking down strongholds or whatever. You know, I remember when I read the Chronicles of Narnia. I remember we had this girl that was staying in our house. She was a hippie. Like, she was really hippie, you know? Like, she's really hippie. Really weird, odd kind of woman. But she'd read us out of the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe every night. And, like, she made you believe it could be real because she might be a talking animal. but during those days, you know, like, I dreamed. I lived in the land of Narnia. I lived where animals talked and where Aslan roamed free. And I lived there. I loved it. I dreamed about it. I imagined it was real. And there was times, even as I've watched the movies over the last couple of years, where I thought, that's not how I remember Narnia being. That's not what it's like. Aslan don't look like that. That's not what I saw it. Right? Because my imagination was so real, so living, so alive. And I could see it. And that's the way it was, right? But then we grow up, right? We grow up. And we become realists, right? We start seeing things the way they really are. We develop the art of critical thinking and realizing why none of this could really be real, right? What really happens, I think, for us many times is the eye of faith gets poked out. And we start living life looking through our natural eyes and seeing the world the way we see it as a fallen race, a world that's so small and so tiny. And that's the world God wants to call us out of. That's the world that God wants to call us and say there's more. God's word slams man's wisdom and calls it foolishness and stirs us to think big thoughts and dream big dreams and challenges us to keep our big butts out of the way of the possibilities put forward in God's word. Here is one dream awakening and reality-defying verse. Paul wrote this verse from prison, reminding the church not to get down by the situation that he was in because he was trusting in God's bigger picture of the situation. So we're going to read these verses. We're going to read specifically from Ephesians 3 this morning and then Genesis 15. Okay, so Ephesians 3. For this cause, and this is verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, not our glory, not our power, of His glory, to be strengthened by might, with might by His Spirit, Him working in us, right, in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. So we need faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That you may, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, because you're rooted and grounded in love, and because you're being strengthened by His might, by His Spirit, and according to the riches of His glory, you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, that is, which passes knowledge, right? So what Paul's saying here is that we need to see things God's way so we could really know God the way we were supposed to know, because in our own natural minds, He's unknowable. But through the Spirit, we can know the ways of God and the heart of God. We can know through the Spirit, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. All the fullness of God. Now to Him, I love this verse, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To Him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, forever. Amen. Cool verses, right? To Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. So take the verse down. I just want to, don't put any verses up for a minute, because I want to ask some questions. So we read that verse. Now, to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. So what if He just wrote, now to Him that is able to do all that we ask or think. Be a pretty cool verse still, right? What would be the problem with that verse at that point? We could only see what we could see, right? Because if we can only see what we could see, we can only ask for what we know. So the Holy Spirit, as He was inspiring this verse, I could see Him backtracking it and saying, now unto Him who is able to do above all that we could ask or think. To do above what we could ask or think. That would be a really cool thing, right? Like, because if it's already above what we could ask or think, that's pretty amazing. But it does not fully take in who the Godhead is. What God is able to do. So backtrack again, right? So now to Him who is able to do abundantly above what we could ask or think is really cool. Because that blows my mind. Already abundantly above what I could ask or think is pretty amazing. Right? But it still did not fulfill the whole idea of what the Godhead was. It's exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or think. Exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or think. Because this is a verse that God wants to blow your mind with. This is, God is not like trying to limit things. It's like He's egging us on to believe for more than what we could really even believe for. Right? It's not like saying, whoa, 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 relax. I don't want to go that far. I don't want to do that. I don't got enough for that. He's saying, I am willing to do exceedingly, abundantly above what you could ask or think. Don't look at your Bibles. Everybody look at me. What's the next part of that verse say? Anybody know? Anybody quote it? According to the power that works in you. According to the power that works in you. So, it would seem that the unlimited God is limited by us. This verse, according, this word according in this verse denotes, let me just get this right. Ooh. opposition, distribution, or intensity. It really gives the idea that the power that's already in work is you, in you, is to be distributed by you in whatever measure and intensity that is needed for the situation. Right? So where'd the power... Because, like, honestly, God has not done exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or think. Honestly. I don't know if any of you feel that way, but I have some prayers I've prayed I'm still waiting on. I have some dreams I'm carrying that sometimes seem long past dead. Honestly. But what is it that makes those things come up? What is it that brings the exceedingly abundantly above? It's according, right, to the power. Well, what power? Right? Here's what the Bible says. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses, again, in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In Luke 24:49, it says, and I myself will send upon you what my Father has promised. But you must wait in the city until the power from above comes down upon you. And we know that happened, right? On the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, when 50 days after Jesus' resurrection was fully come, when those 50 days had passed, they were all in one accord, in one place, and the Holy Spirit hit that room. And the fire of God fell, and the wind of the Spirit blew through, and power came. And when we give our hearts to Jesus, and we ask for the power of the Holy Spirit, He fills us. So that power is already at work in us, but it's our job to distribute. I think that the answer is that we need to pray. And we need to continue praying, and we need to pray again and again. I read the story of Daniel as he was praying, you know, for God to come and help him, and he waited 21 days. Right, he prayed every day for 21 days. And when the angel came, he said, I was released in the heavenlies the day you prayed. But it took me 21 days to get here. So, I don't know about you, but I turn on the shower in the morning, right? And I turn the water on, hot. But I hate when I do this because I have a shower head, you know, one of those ones you can pull off. But I turn it to the side because when you pull that handle, it don't matter if you got warm water already or not, but when you pull that handle, it's cold, right? So, right? But many times we start our hot water, right, knowing that hot water should come. But we wait for a while, and the cold water's still coming, right? I don't know about you. Sometimes it seems like maybe my neighbor has my hot water heater in his house, and it takes that long for the hot water to get to me. But we don't turn on the water on hot to take a shower, feel it's cold, and we shut it off. Right? We turn the water on and we wait for hot water to come. Many times we have more faith that hot water is going to come, that God's going to come through in our situation. But we need to keep releasing, we need to keep distributing the power of God so that He can do, by the power that works in us, exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or think. Cool? So here's a story in the Bible to bring this to life. It's found in Genesis chapter 15. And God's speaking to Abraham. Abraham's in his tent. Probably not as cool a tent as this. Maybe cooler. He's a rich man, right? God's speaking to Abraham, and he's saying, Abraham, you know what? I'm with you. And I'm your great reward. It's a good deal, eh? You can hear me speak and you don't have to look at me. No, I'm here, right? So Abraham's talking to God and God's saying that, you know, I'm with you, Abraham. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Thanks, Logan. Don't be afraid, Abraham, because I'm with you. I got your back and I'm your great reward. And Abraham's saying, well, God, that's cool, but I have no heir. I have no son. And this servant that's in my house, Eliezer, he's going to be my heir. He's going to be my heir. That's it. That's the deal. You know what? You're making me all these big promises, but they don't mean nothing because I got no son. And God said, Eleazar is not going to be your heir. I promise you, you'll have a son. And he told Abraham, come on out of your tent. He said, come on out. He took Abraham out, it says, and he said, now, look at the stars of the sky. Look what's around you. Count them. Can you count them? Can you see? Because every one of those represents a person that's going to come from you, that's going to be part of your lineage. And actually, if we look at the lineage of Abraham, we see that Jesus, the Messiah, came through Abraham. Abraham was in a place. If you're in your tent, what do you see? If you're laying in your tent and you look up, what do you see? Anybody? Got an answer? You see a roof, right? This one here's got some fancy screen and you can see a bit of that. But all you can see is a roof. So when Abraham was talking to God, it's all right. Give him a break today. When Abraham was talking to God, he was in a place of limitation. Now, he probably had a bit bigger tent than this, but he was sitting there, and he was listing off all the things about why what God was saying wouldn't work. Right? But God was saying, look, Abraham, I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you could ask or think, but you need to get out of your place of containment, a place where you can only see with your natural eyes, and come out into this other place where you can see by the Spirit. So real life situation for me. Because I believe that we got to be honest and straight up so that we can see the big picture. So hopefully with my picture, you can connect to your picture. Right? So for me, I walked through the doors of this school back in 1978. We're Cambro Community Fellowship at the time. God put a big dream in our hearts. Big dream that we'd reach thousands, that people would be healed as they walked in the church, and while the worship was happening, people would be healed. We have a picture probably somewhere back on that computer, a conceptual drawing of this property and what it would be like as we grew and as we built on and things like that. But I'll tell you, 8 years of pounding away at it, and it doesn't seem like the dream's coming to pass. I turned on the water, but the cold water's still coming, and the hot water hasn't got here yet. And because of that, a lot of times instead of dreaming about the dream that God really put in my heart, I just dream that, you know, maybe we could survive for another year, to be honest with you. And when I prepared this message, right, God called me, and he said, come on out, Ralph. And have a look. Look in the stars. Look at the sky. Count the stars. See what I have. See what my picture still is for this house. A picture of people streaming to the altars to give their hearts to Jesus. A picture of people being healed in the service while we sing and as we worship the Lord. These are the dreams. Maybe you are inside of your tent, and you have a bad report from your doctor, right? Maybe you don't have hope as far as the medical community thinks. Looking around and you're seeing all the limitations and all the could-bes and would-bes and maybes. But God's calling you outside today and say, look, I want to do exceedingly abundantly above what you could ask or what you could think. This is what God says. Maybe you have some kids that are not serving Jesus, and you prayed and prayed and prayed, and it doesn't seem like they're coming back. Well, God wants to bring you out of that place today of confinement, that place where there's a ceiling, and say, I want to do abundantly, exceedingly abundantly above what you can ask or think. Maybe today you had a business idea at one time, and you dreamed that you could do it. You dream that you could carry it through. And because of hard times or because of opposition or because of, you know, this crappy economy that we're in, you've given up and you said, I'm just going to just be an average everyday worker and work it out. God's calling you today to come out and to look at the stars and count the stars and say, that's the dream that I put in your heart. That's the dream that I want you to fulfill. That's what I have for you. That's it. That's what God has. In my heart today, I really feel this, that God is speaking right across this room. That there's some things that God's put in your heart. Maybe you're suffering today. You know, as we prayed for Gord, I even pray that God will show him the stars right now, that he'll be able to see the goodness of God. You know? But maybe, you know, like there's some things we see that are obvious, and there's some people that are sitting here that are just broken and hurting inside because they had something in their heart and they can't carry it through. I believe this morning God's saying to you, don't let go of the dream. It's my dream. It's my plan. I'm going to carry it through, but it's in my strength, but you need to release it. You need to walk into it. So I want to do two things this morning. I want to pray. If you're here this morning and that's you, could I just get someone to, Renee, can you go to the keyboards? Just play something on the keys. And just, if you're here this morning and you say, you know what? God's speaking to me. As an act of my faith, I'm just going to stand. As you stand, we're going to pray and we're going to believe God. So as Renee goes to the keys, if you're here this morning, you say, God really spoke to me through that this morning. Just stand to your feet. We're going to pray and we're going to believe with you. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We worship you. As you're standing, let's just give a murmur of just a worship to God with our mouth. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we love you. You are the God that's more than enough. You are, Lord, the God that can do. So, Lord, this morning I come in the name of Jesus, Lord. And even as you put this message in my heart, Lord, I know you did it for a reason. So this morning I speak to each one of these situations. I speak to each one of these lives. And I command, Lord, for that dream to be reawakened and renewed in their hearts. God, I pray, Lord, even today that by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, you'd work in each life. And Lord, that we'd see, Lord, the thing that you said, Lord, would come to pass. Lord, I pray for hope to arise in each heart. Lord, I pray for faith, Lord, to arise in each heart. Lord, I pray that, Lord, even that people could once again see through the eye of faith the things, Lord, that you have. Lord, I thank you for healing in the house this morning. Lord, I thank you for prosperity in the house this morning. Lord, I thank you for peace in the house this morning. And I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. And together we agree with your word and we say, Amen. Amen. So if you're here this morning, you can sit down. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you know, maybe this will be a better way to explain it. If you're not following Jesus, if you're not really pursuing a life with God this morning, and God is tugging at your heart this morning, and you'll know if He is, because when He's pulling at you, there's times where He's just, you know, you're sitting here and you know that God's calling you. And this morning, if that's you, we're going to pray this simple prayer. If you pray it with your mouth and believe it with your heart, then you're going to be what the Bible said is saved. But what's going to happen is Jesus is going to come into your life. He's going to empower you. That same power that we talked about this morning, that power of the Holy Spirit is going to come into your life. And that God that's able, that power that's able to do exceedingly above, abundantly above what you could ask or think is going to come in. It's going to supernaturally, God's going to empower your life. So let's pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you gave your life on the cross for me. I ask you today to forgive my sins. I ask you today to make me new, to wash me. Come into my heart. From today and on, I want to follow you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So if you prayed that prayer this morning, please come and talk to me. I'd love to talk to you. We're going to close up the service now. And as you go in faith. trust God that he could do something amazing through you.